And welcome to the Agile Revolution podcast. This is Craig.
Hi, Renee's here.
And we're in Sydney town, joined by a couple of guests.
Sydney!
So who do we have on the couch?
We get Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you doing?
Good, and yourself?
Good, thank you.
And Dominic on.
Cool, well, welcome along, guys. We just thought we'd get together and have a bit of a chat about all things Agile. So tell us a bit about yourself, Jeremy.
So I'm an iteration manager for the Kaizen Pod. So it's a BAU team for more than 30 applications across CI and life insurance. And we get currently 10 people in the team.
Cool. Now, we do know a bit of an accent there. What's your history before being here in Sydney? What's your Agile history? Because you've got a bit of a...
It's a bit of a German accent, isn't it?
I was going off South African.
Right. Yeah.
South African? Nah. None of that is much more French.
Nah, right.
If you want, I could do the real French accent.
Ooh.
It's going to be hard to understand.
Maybe that'll be on the extra...
The sealed section.
The director's cut.
So were you doing Agile before you came to Australia?
Yes, it's been a bit more than 8 years that I work in an Agile fashion, and I respect principles and values. I've done several companies from small to big, and support to projects.
So, Dom, what's your background?
I'm an iteration manager for the Drupal team. I've been an iteration manager there now for probably about 8 to 10 months. I haven't been as many companies as Jeremy, probably one. So that's where I've come from.
Cool.
So what brings you to Australia, Jeremy?
Actually,
the weather.
Yeah, the weather, of course.
But it's the people, right? We're all fun.
You are, and you drink beer. I still love wine. I still love wine. And I like Australian wine. Not as much as French wine. I stay patriot. On the other hand, Agile is done differently here. People are less attached to formal process and hierarchy. So you could have young people driving teams rather than the most experienced one. It's much more rewarded by motivation and how people put themselves out there than actually the experience or how long someone stayed in the company, which I value much more.
So it's people's skills and passion for the role
that
gets
exactly
rewarded into that.
Exactly. And what I like as well is giving the chance first. In France, we tend to evaluate someone before anything, and it's mainly done on the resume. I don't paint a very good picture of France, but...
well, between all the breaks you have all day, the smoking break, the morning tea break, the morning
siesta.
Tea smoking break.
So you're referring to more of a safe-to-fail environment, whereby,
it is.
Given the opportunity, given the chance to succeed or to fail before...
At least you try first. At least there is a try at the beginning, which is different. In France, we won't let you try until we assure you will succeed. So it's not actually learning by failure.
Yeah.
There's less opportunity.
So how does anyone in France learn to walk?
There is good examples about how...
He doesn't walk anywhere. He crawls everywhere.
There is good examples about how French people could be very well in education. For example, a mother would put a candy jar on the table, open, for the kids. And everyone could pick it up. So it's self-control. The kids, it is taught by himself how not to eat too many candies, because there won't be any lollies left when he wants them, or for friends, or whatsoever. So this is in the education. On the other hand, when you talk about work, there is a strong difference in France, and people want to be very professional, and they want to ensure they progress well.
So a different set of rules or a different culture applies.
Exactly.
So Dom, do you reckon that's any different here in Australia, though? From what you're saying, I mean, do people treat work and work and home the same? I would think that our culture here is reasonably similar.
I'd say it would be reasonably similar to what it is there, yeah, for sure, definitely.
So, I mean, you know, you were talking about coaching your football team, we were talking off air earlier. You know, I would say the way that, you know, you're an iteration manager, the way that you go towards coaching your football team as opposed to the way that you go towards coaching and managing your team here at work, I would suggest would be quite different, right?
You don't yell as much here at work. So you don't yell as much, and your blood pressure remains quite stable here than it does on the football field. A bit more emotional when you're a coach. Although you want the same outcome. Hmm. You want to win and you want to perform,
success.
You want to do well. But they're just two different styles. So I think the style of football can stay on the field, but the style here, you do it sort of the same way, but less so. With less volume.
Cool. So going back to the French example, I mean, is anyone really successful in agile adoption in France then, if there is that kind of that culture?
Mm-hmm. They are quite successful. There is some successful transition. On the other hand, it's much more a top-down approach when it's decided, or it's pockets in the bottom, so projects deciding to go agile because they are a bit sick of the control management. Me, I take much more management as a service. You help your team. You provide service to your team, or rather than controlling exactly what they do. So you try to help them because they are actually doing the work. You can't do the work by
yourself.
Leadership,
obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you talked earlier about a vast number of applications you support. Is that like 30 or so? Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you use iterations? What sort of approach to Agile do you take?
And maybe the name Kaizen team starts to give a bit of a
indication
of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the team choose their name from the lean culture, which is Kaizen, which is continuous improvement. At the first place, I try to we choose the names randomly, and I post it, and I drawn actually the Chinese character, and some in the team are Chinese, and it's a Japanese character, but it's the same in Chinese, and I was surprised because they told me that actually these characters mean change the way you work, it will change your work.
Mm-hmm.
Which is entitled into continuous improvement. And the way we work, just to come back to that, is much more on a lean, agile approach. Therefore, we get short iteration, if you could call it like that, because we get a prioritization session and not planning session, because we try to inspect the priority every week. So not every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. but every week.
So do you make a commitment to deliver that weekly block of functionality?
No, not exactly. We don't make any commitment to what we prioritize. We try to prioritize and adapt ourselves to what is the current situation every week.
Okay, so things come in inside that week. You accept the additional items that come in. So it's more of a Kanban-based...
It is a Kanban, exactly.
...focus, I guess, with the understanding that you'll have regular ceremonies once a week.
Exactly. Because mm-hmm. we need to revise the priority constantly, and the team is a bit away from the business, and we want the business input.
Yep.
And because we get two major business, we have to balance with both. And we can't make any assumption for the business. It would be wrong.
So you have multiple customers?
Many customers.
How many customers do you have?
As many as we get applications. So
30.
Yeah.
Wow. So did you get them all into a room together to prioritize?
They come every Monday in front of the wall.
30 of them?
Not 30 of them. They are represented by other people. Some of them are in Melbourne, some of them are in Perth, and we are currently working on the application they are using. Mm-hmm. But we need someone to drive the priority and to try to get a vision about what would be the value of delivering this over something else.
So I imagine with many different business domains that you're working with, I guess, you know, for them to play nicely, there's quite some robust conversations. All my work's more important than yours for this reason?
It happens quite smoothly, I would say. There is a better understanding about each business, and the team is well capable. Therefore, there is not so strong debate about priorities. Actually, the business starts to become better about that. First of all, they just wanted to pull the work and get ready for the week, and they didn't care about the priorities. But when they saw that we couldn't start working on it because production issues happened and we encountered some trouble just to deliver something, and it wasn't picked up during the week and came up the next week, they give a highest priority. And they start to articulate a bit better.
So it's maturity over time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's changing, it's evolving. It's people learning how to talk to each other and how to pass on this mentality about the business they try to drive.
So Dom, you're kind of in the same organisation, although probably arguably a more traditional approach. Yep. I was wondering, as someone who works on a team, seeing someone like Jeremy here, who's kind of trying to lead a change in an organisation. What types of things, I guess, are you seeing that perhaps you should be picking up in an area?
What we've seen is that as Jeremy had, there's when we got everyone together, we didn't get 30 people together in the room, but we got a vast number of business owners from other areas. There was, once we explained our situation and where we were with resourcing and things like that, we came out of it with far more understanding as to that they weren't sort of the focus, and there was far more empathy amongst other teams that when there's other pieces of work to do, they will say, oh, we understand that, that's why you're doing that. We understand that there was less that you do this and this is what you do. So I found that there was a lot of head nodding saying, wow, I didn't know that actually, that's what, they're the other things you do, I didn't know you did that. And there was far more of that, which has sort of eased the pressure on getting all the work done, rather than just saying, well, we're doing this and then we don't have to go sort of elsewhere to get other work done and do it covertly. There was a far more openness because everyone in the room understood that, oh, that's not all you do. And that really worked well.
So it sounds like a really strong transition from a very siloed, focused mentality to a wider organisational strategic mentality.
Yeah, which was what we needed, because we're here as a group to work together as a group, not work together fighting over each other. And it was it made it easy as an IM to get over that.
And do you think it took the lead of someone like Jeremy, kind of doing that and trying that then kind of made it okay, or were you already heading in that direction anyway?
I think it hit a boiling point.
Tipping point.
And then we said, right, let's step back and have a look. So I had a retrospective, and even though it was a siloed retrospective, I invited everyone into the retrospective. They didn't know that. And then when everyone started to join the room, they were saying, oh, who are these people?
And so
it was, because I felt that everyone needed a voice. Everyone's priority was just as important as everyone else's, but it just needed that everyone to see and know each other to help that. So it really helped and really got us over that. And now there's sort of that less pressure to say, well, we do this because we're important. There's far more empathy. Mm.
I think Dom and I are working in the same toward the same goal, which is not making the BAU more sexy, but actually valuing it and shifting from a project to a product. Because when a business has a project and tries to deliver and achieve something and deliver some value, they are mainly focused and they are used to that. So now we get these well-driven agile projects with 2 weeks iteration. On the other hand, we lacked a bit on BAU, where you get a cross business, and business are used to get their dedicated project, dedicated people, and they don't know what the other business is doing. But for us, we are part of the same department, we are part of the same team, and we can't divide one developer or dedicate one developer to one business, because in BAU he will have something to do today, but not tomorrow. So we are one company, and we want to highlight that each business is depending on each other, related to us. And we need their input, we need their buy-in, we need their collaboration. And bringing them in the same room or bringing them regularly, as we do, for a prioritization session, a retrospective, is mainly beneficial. Seeing their face, seeing someone that you talk on the phone or you send an email constantly, it's you could see on their face that they are surprised. They're, oh, that's you. Oh, and they repeat your name three times. And there is benefits to that. Nothing would replace even VC. It won't replace this hugging that we get between business.
Did you say hugging?
Yeah. Oh, it's too French.
We don't get that.
I use this expression.
I'm all for hugs. Just wanted to clarify. That's what you said.
Okay, it's much more shoulder check.
that sounds very, very just plain Jane. No.
So if you're supporting 30 systems, is that effectively 30 products in your mind?
No. Not exactly. There is 30 application, but they are all
part of the one.
Part of not part of the one one product, but they might be divided into different products that we sell to the real customers. That's actually part of the simplification project, is to try to simplify. So we refactor a lot. So there is dependencies between products. With one application, which is good because the developers understand that one mistake on one application could impact
multiple products,
multiple business. So you get this main understanding about the importance of quality, the importance of achievement.
Mm.
So is it the same for you, Dom, the internal Drupal products? Is it a product?
It is a product, and when Jeremy says when we explained in the retrospective that we looked after 30 applications, it is actually 30 sites. And we said if a developer worked for 1 hour on one site, it has a knock-on effect of compromising every minute of working on another site. So if we had to work on 30 sites, we could only work on one site per hour per week, and that would be it. We looked at full capacity, and when they understood that, they said, you know, that it was like the light bulb moment. They said, wow, we didn't know. Mm. We just didn't know that what you did, because with Drupal it was sort of an evolving product. We sort of built one site, then it sort of exploded and we built these other sites, but people only felt that they only owned one site, so that's all they looked after, and they felt that they were the only customer, and that was and when that light bulb moment hit, it really did hit them.
Awesome. Now, Jeremy, you're one of the co-organisers of Agile Sydney, right? I was recently in town and you did a little event around Edgy Agile, which, you know, kind of got some people together. I'm just wondering, you know, what Edgy Agile stuff are you seeing or thinking that, you know, you might be able to bring into the mix of,
What's Edgy Agile?
Yes, what is Edgy Agile?
Actually, the definition came on the day. People are really keen to learn tools and tricks, but one recipe can't work for every teams.
No.
That's what we learned, the difference between projects and BAU. For example, in my team, we don't estimate anymore. It might shock some people. At the time... The time we don't spend on estimation, we spend on working.
On delivering.
Get out of here.
No.
Wow.
So radical person here.
Yeah, burning hell. So, Edgy Agile is much more something that you can't read on the books, or you don't hurt so much. That's what something is happening somewhere. Someone is doing it. Someone is trying. It's much more something on the edge, and it's pushing all these boundaries in order to challenge this agile status quo that everyone wants to have, and try to reach the edge and try to try new things and try to make these practices evolve and not stay with one boundary and one framework. Try to see what you could try, what you could learn from that, and try to see how well you could progress.
So I guess you know, where I was going with that, and I had a little more inside baseball than what Renee did, is that you know, you talked about some of the edgy stuff you've done, you know dropping the estimation, and you know, bringing in Kaizen and you know, Kanban type approach. What to you are the next, you know, the edgy things, you know, for a product team like you have? What are some of the things that are in your mind that might be coming down the pipe?
Down the pipe, we need to give business more feedback. Now that the business is engaged, we need to give the business more metrics. So it's not only delivering fast and valuable enhancement, it's as well giving them an insight about how time we spend and how much money they spend onto that, in order to see actually the return on investment. Try to see over building up a small project and restarting with a new team, with a concept, initiate, and everything, over trying to trust the BAU team in order to accomplish bigger tasks. Because the developers in BAU are much more keen to start edgy things. They want to, with this continuous improvement mentality, they want to push the edge of what they are doing. They want something that you have on projects, challenging, not being rushed all the time. So that's what I want to provide to the team, and that's the feedback that I want to give to the business. And there is so useful information about how we achieve things that needs to be pulled off from the team. But we will work on that step by step. It's not by someone coming in and trying to say, you need to measure that, you need to measure that. Actually, the biggest challenge is aligning how we deliver with clarity. And it's a very big challenge. So we will try different things. It might work, it might not work. But my approach is much more, we need to keep on delivering like that. And we don't need to focus too much on clarity.
So when you say clarity, you're talking about clarity, the timesheeting tool.
Clarity timesheeting.
A mandated tool versus process. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's in place in order to help us measuring how much money we spend. It's not in place just to drive us how we work.
Okay. So Dom, in your area, is there anything coming down the pipe?
What are you doing? It's edgy.
Well, being on this podcast, the team
is edgy by itself.
Trying to make BAU sexy is probably the biggest challenge you could ever make. But I suppose it's trying. Nothing sort of major happening with our team just at this moment. But definitely working. Definitely the bringing in a partner, which is something we've not done. Is something that we're.
This is an offshore partner too, isn't it?
Yeah. They've come over here and had a look, and they've gone back, and so that will happen sort of over there, and it'll be brought over here. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. But bear you becoming sexy? Well, I'd like to see that.
So what sort of challenges do you get in working with an offshore distributed agile team? Are they're obviously agile, working agile as well, is that
correct? Yes,
correct. What's harder?
The wall is harder, and we've experienced that with even nationally between Brisbane and Melbourne, because we work both with Brisbane and Melbourne. So that's the hard part. Stand-ups are good, they're getting better. They were a bit clunky at first, but we're using Google Hangout as our medium for doing that, and that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's even easier to set up than the Big Blue Button.
Yeah, there's even set up. Yeah, Big Blue Button has issues with initially had issues with audio, but Google Hangouts seems to...
So Google Hangouts, edgy, there you go.
There you go, yeah. So that's the thing we're doing.
You can get there.
It's good to get the input from the team members trying to challenge that and try to use like brand new tools on the market. And we are really lucky that that they are able actually to try that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have a constant channel open with overseas?
Not yet. That's coming up soon. That we'll have like we've seen in other areas where they have a constant
LSP is doing LSP, that.
Yeah.
Via Skype.
Yep, they're via Skype. So yep. Imagine that it won't be long before we'll have a Skype happening here.
And that's a constant, always on feed, always on. So you can see both ends.
Yep, and they have a Skype with Melbourne as well. So it's even a constant with Melbourne as well as China. So
yeah, awesome.
Interesting to see. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, this is just kind of a quick catch up. So thanks, guys, for joining us on the Agile Revolution. And
thank you, Craig.
Thank you,
Renee.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you again in Sydney.
We try to get here as often as we can. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Viva la Revolution.